Hi, it's Mackenzie, and this is the Male Spouse Brief. Happy Friday, guys. I hope you guys are having a wonderful week. I had a great week, and my family was here, which was super fun, and I loved being able to hang out with them and show them around our home and do all these fun things. We spent a ton of time at the beach. We celebrated my dad's birthday, and overall, it was just a great weekend to have them, and then to celebrate Memorial Day with them was really special as well. Today we have a really exciting guest on the podcast. Her name is Brenda and she is wonderful, you guys. Like, oh my gosh, just the sweetest, most caring and kind. We literally talked for hours. It was so fun. And I felt like we were able to like relate on a lot. And we, even after the podcast, we talked about home decor and all these kind of fun things. And she's just so sweet. And I felt like we had a really good conversation. I feel like we talked on a lot of different points, which I feel like is really exciting and fun. And I'm just really grateful for that. Another thing that happened in my week was I've been starting to kind of expand my PR portfolio. And so I've been helping some people around Oceanside here recently. So just wanted to shout them out really quickly. So a couple weeks ago, I had Bianca on the podcast. She also has her own podcast that I was a guest on, but I'm helping her, and she's a photographer. She is my only photographer here. I won't go to anybody else because she is literally that amazing. So if you are ever in the need of a photographer, please check out Bianca, and I will link her information on our post for this episode. And then my other client, her name is Katie, and she's coming on as a guest in a couple weeks as well. And she is a fitness instructor, you guys. And so if you're not local to California, she does like online fitness and she kind of makes out workout plans for you guys and things like that. But if you are local, she runs fitness classes out of her house and like in her garage. So check those out because I've heard they are the best. And then the last person I'm helping out right now is my friend Zoe, and she's going to be on the podcast in a couple weeks as well. And she runs her interior design business, and so she helps people design their houses and set up all those cool things, and it's amazing. We have like the same style, and so I love it, and so she's been helping me with my house. So if you're in the need for any of those people or those services and needs, please check them out, and I will tag them in the post when I post this episode, so please do that. And then if you are a small business or you have a service and you're needing some form of PR, just reach out. I'd love to help you. And as you can tell, we've added some ads to the podcast, which I'm really excited about because that allows us to make a little bit more money, and so that makes me happy. And hopefully you guys will enjoy that. And then the other exciting news is we have a special guest coming on next week, and his name is Bill, and we are going to be doing like a mental health series with him. So I'm really, really excited for that, and I hope you guys will learn and enjoy as much as I have and will to come. And without further ado, here is the episode with Brenda. All right, so I'm here with our guest. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Brenda Hechavarria. I'm from Miami, Florida, from a Cuban cool. family. I'm Cuban myself. I was born in Cuba, came to the U.S. when I was 11 years old.
Wow.
And yeah, it's been a while, but not that much.
Yeah.
Met my husband in high school, and we've been together ever since high school. And then he joined the military after a year of us dating. And we didn't get married right away, but we definitely got married like a year and a half after.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been history ever since. We've been together for like around almost 6 years already.
Oh my gosh, that's so yeah. cool. Okay, so you've been through all of it. You've been through the boot camp, the
yeah,
NCT. What's
everything.
His MOS?
He's Mortar T.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. But and then is this his first or second duty station?
His first.
Okay.
Yeah. Our contract's up next year, and we're thinking now, like, making the big decision. Like,
yeah.
do we want to re-enlist or do we not? Like,
where's so your head at with that?
Part of me just wants to go back home because of the baby. Like,
yeah.
I definitely want to raise the baby. And I don't think I said I'm pregnant, but I am. I definitely want to raise my baby around family. I'm a very family person. I grew up with my grandparents, yeah. So I definitely want that for the baby. And both of our families are over there.
So you guys, because you met in high school, so both your families still live in Miami.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, that's so cool.
So yeah. But again, like, the military is a really nice opportunity, especially when you have kids and stuff like that. It could be a little bit unstable for them because of the moving out all the time. But maybe another 4 years, you know, another reenlistment won't hurt that much.
Yeah, that's what...
But we're thinking about it.
I totally haven't made a decision yet. I think, like, 20 is... Like, when you visualize 20, you're like, that is a long time. And so my husband and I, we talk a lot about just like, okay, we'll do it in 4-year increments. Okay, this 4 years. Okay, how about this 4 year, you know, and that kind of thing. And I think that takes it off because life changes so much in 4 years. I mean, like, when you start the military versus, like, when your contract's up the first time, so much has changed. So I feel like you can't say, I mean, you can say, I'm going to do 20, but life changes so much in each enlistment that I feel like you really have to take it enlistment by enlistment.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. We definitely have, like, life projects that we want to, like, you know, actually make it happen. And it's totally different from military lifestyle. And we really are thinking about businesses and stuff like that. So, obviously, like, we have a good positive mindset about it. And we trust the process. But again, if it works out within a year, like, and we can be successful outside of the military, then that's it. Like, we don't have to reenlist. But if not, like, we can just reenlist and keep on working on our finances and just keep on brainstorming the future, definitely. But yeah, I mean, it's so far it's been really nice living here. It's my first time in California.
Okay.
So what about you? Where are you from?
I'm from Ohio.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so this is my first time. I just moved here in November. So yeah, this is my first time living in California, which is definitely adjustment. I, like, grew up on the East Coast, and East Coast versus West Coast is very different.
It is very different.
Would you say that you still prefer the East Coast?
100%. I feel like a lot of people that come to the West Coast, they tell me, oh, my God, no, the West Coast is so much better. But they are from a place where I'm from Miami, so imagine it's, like, very, like, city, island type of weather. So everyone's going out all the time. Like, there's weekend parties all the time. So... To be honest, like, it's not, like, to me, moving out here is totally different. Like, over there, I feel like it's very cultural, like, type of area. Because you can literally, if you're craving any type of food, you can go ahead and go to the corner and eat it. Over here, like, I see that we don't have a big variety of foods and stuff like that. So, I'm a foodie. So, so definitely, that's something that has shocked me. And the distance here, too. It's so long to go places. Yeah. Like, and I feel like we live in Oceanside, which is a pretty small town. And then if you really want to go somewhere, you either have to go to LA or San Diego.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe Carlsbad is right there and has a little bit of things. But in Miami, everything's so... I find the city so big, but everything's so small at the same time. It's so, like, everything's around the corner.
Your needs are all met in a very small radius. Yeah,
100%. So it was an adjustment for me for sure. But it's nice. I mean, I can't complain about it. I'm not in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
so,
no, I totally get that. Yeah. I think my biggest, like, difference or qualm with California is the fact that we only have one freeway. And if one thing goes wrong, so, like, today, obviously, you guys won't hear this for, like, a week or two, but today, the day we're recording the podcast, this morning, they shut down I-5 because there was a guy, like, being chased. So then they, like, shut it down to kind of, like, barricade him in. And then he decided to shoot himself.
Wow.
So then they had to, like, deal with that and take him to the hospital and then pronounce him dead and, like, all these things.
Wow.
And so all of I-5 has been shut down for hours. And they're just now opening. I don't know if you got the email this morning, but I got an email from Lincoln, which is, like, our housing unit. And they're, like, our offices might not open in time because they weren't even opening gates to come on the base.
Wow.
So I think that's my only qualm is, like, there's... If I-5's closed, if I-5's busy, you're kind of screwed.
Which
is lucky if you live on base because your needs are met.
Yeah. But if you're outside and you have to work on base.
Yeah, or if you're on base and you can't get off. Like, I think it was, a couple weeks when you couldn't even get off base because of the semi tipping over right outside the base.
Wow.
And so it's like, there's no other way to go. And, like, people are like, oh, well, you can go up. I think it's, like, 215, like, Temecula, or I think it's 215. But, like, you can go other ways. But it's, like, it's not convenient to go those other ways.
It's not.
You have one way, and it is I-5.
Yeah.
Like, okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, I definitely like miss that about the East Coast. At least where I live, there's so many highways, yes. And you can just go under. You don't necessarily have to take the highway. Here, yeah. You kind of have to take the highway.
No, I totally agree, and I think that's what's so weird to me. Like, even in Ohio, there's so many, and like that's what I always tell people. I'm like, if one's closed, you just hop on the other. Like, yeah. To get anywhere, you can go multiple places, which I've learned is why human trafficking is so much more higher in those areas, because you can get away so quickly and you can hop on so many different freeways in the blink of an eye. And, you know, like, being followed isn't as easy when you have so many different routes you can take, which is obviously, like, another trade-off. But it's definitely, like, for the convenience of, like, just traveling day to day, you have no option.
You really don't. And you know what the song says? LA traffic at the city slow. California traffic at the city slow.
Yes. Yeah. And then there's so many accidents. I drove from Northern California to Southern California last week for work, and I had to, like, travel through 7 accidents. I was like, how are you guys having this many accidents when you're going so slow? Like, someone make it make sense how you guys are crashing into each other when we're literally in standstill, which I get, like, before it's standstill, it is probably moving, like, at a decent speed. But it's like, why, like, and then, last week again, that kid got shot. Did you see
that? Yeah, I saw it. I saw the little kid, right?
Yeah, the little kid from the road rage.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, I literally was driving that 2 days before that happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, you never know.
I was like, oh my gosh. And so I was like, you know, I really do like living on base sometimes. It's a small little bubble that no one can really penetrate. Yeah. Like, things like that. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I lived on, when we first moved out here, I lived on base, but I lived on the other side, like San Luis Rey area.
Oh, so like the old main side.
Yeah. And it was nice, but I mean, not that nice, because we lived in, I think it was Sierra Mesa.
Oh yeah, like the one bedroom.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't have laundry inside. Yeah, like, it was not like very updated or anything like that.
And how did you like living in those? Because I've heard it's like,
I personally didn't like it, but there's people that love it. And they've been there forever. Okay. I personally didn't, because I thought the living space was a little bit small, and we didn't have laundry inside, which is a priority for me, but it wasn't that bad, you know. But we decided to move outside base.
Okay.
And we lived outside base for a year. No, never again. I feel like we kind of rushed it a little bit, because my husband was about to go on deployment, and we, you know, because of BAH and stuff like that, we wanted to make a little bit more, because outside, you know, quote unquote, you make a little bit more. And then it was a really bad experience with the housing we lived on outside. And now we just got this house inside again. And I really, like, so far, this has been my favorite. And I was telling my husband the other day, we should have had this house the entire time. But obviously, like, we don't have a family. And we were not thinking about building a family anytime soon. So,
no, okay, so you are pregnant. How far along are you?
So I'm 21 weeks tomorrow.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, crazy. I never thought I was gonna be a mom so soon.
Yeah.
It was definitely a planned pregnancy. I can't say it was like a mistake or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We planned it. 2020 was such a crazy year for everyone. And thankfully, I didn't lose any close family members, you know, because I know so many people did.
Yeah.
But it made us look at life a little bit different, definitely. Yeah. And we were like, you know, like, we've always been wanting to be young parents, so let's go for it. And I was like, you know what, like, I'm not ready. And we would just go back and forth in the conversation with me, like, literally the entire year, go back and forth. And around the summer, I kind of had a pregnancy scare. And I really thought I was pregnant. Like, all the tests said I was pregnant. I even went to the hospital, and I wasn't pregnant. Like, the hospital confirmed that I wasn't. It was probably, like, I don't know what was going on with the test or something. And it was just so crazy. And I was, like, telling my husband, like, I kind of got excited.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about it for a while. And kind of, like, me thinking that I'm pregnant kind of made me ready for it a little bit. But I'm not, like, 100% ready. He's like, yeah, like, I don't know if I'm ready right now. So we just literally go back and forth. But 2021 came around, and it was January. And I told him, like, you know what? Like, we should really start trying. Like, we have a year left of contract. We can have a baby here. We decide to stay in. That'll be perfect. If not, we can just go back to family. It's the perfect timing. It's not like the baby's going to be away from family for a really long time.
Like, won't realize.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. So we can just give it a try. And he's like, okay, let's start trying. To me, start trying was a process of a few months.
Yeah.
And I know that for some people it takes a few months, because definitely my friends, any like close friends that I had that were pregnant or that had gotten pregnant, took them like 4 months, 6 months, 8 months. So I'm here thinking like, this is going to take forever, so let's start trying. Well, I got pregnant like the first try.
Oh my gosh.
Which I'm so thankful for, because yeah. I know like I'm a very anxious person. I'm like, God, like I know that you made it happen, because you know I'm so anxious that I would have been like, oh my God, I can't. This is not for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it definitely changed our lives completely. I feel like I see things different, and she definitely, like, it's a girl, so mm-hmm. she definitely came to my life in a situation, like, you know, in a position where I was in that I was really struggling with what I wanted to do in the future. I was doing my business, and it wasn't going the right way, the right path that I wanted for it to go mm-hmm. at the time. So she was just that peace of mind that came to me, and that, like, you know what, like, you can do anything.
Yeah.
So definitely changed our lives completely, and we're so excited. We're literally halfway. Can't wait. She comes in October.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, that's my story about pregnancy.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Okay, so you touched on it for a little bit. So what do you do for work, and kind of what wasn't going the way you wanted it to, and like what are your goals and dreams in that kind of area? Yeah.
So in 2020, like I said, the beginning, before quarantine, before COVID was ever a thing, I decided to, let's go back to 2019. I was working in a daycare, and I didn't see myself happy at all. Like, it was actually on base. And it was a nice experience working with kids and everything, but I didn't see myself, like, moving, like, forward in life. And it was kind of like, you know, I was just stuck there. Decided to quit. My husband was recently gonna go on deployment, and I decided to go back home. So back home, I was just like, you know what, like, what do I do now? I can't just be sitting around in my family's house. Like, yeah, we don't have rent right now, because we had put our stuff in a storage.
Oh, nice.
But again, like, I'm not gonna sit around here. I've never been that type of person. I've been working since 16 years old, so I'm like, I need to do something. I used to be a makeup artist in Miami before coming here. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start doing makeup again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, for sure. Like, I have all my stuff here. I had a lot of equipment left in Miami, and I could just buy, I just needed to buy a few other things that it was, you know, minimal. So once I decided to start, once I had booked the entire, like, rest of the year that I was going to be there in Miami for, which it was prom season and all this, they senior pictures, COVID came on.
Oh.
So it was like March, and a lot of schools were like, I don't know, we're gonna close, I don't know, we're gonna stay open. Like the world was kind of like, we don't know what to do, you know?
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was crazy. So I'm like, what do I do now? So I decided to join a network marketing company.
Okay.
Which literally taught me so much about business. I was in seminars with Tony Robbins.
Wow.
With Ed Miley. I learned so much, and it definitely shaped me to be the person that I am right now. So I was doing it for a year. I'm still kind of like in the company, but within like the year of 2020, I was really going hard on it, and I was able to build a really nice income from network marketing, and I was mentoring other people how to do the same.
What is network marketing, and like how does that work?
So network marketing is anything that's done through social media. Like, I would teach people how to make an income through social media, like maybe through a specific company, or if they had their own business, that would kind of like help them how to like grow the following, grow traffic and stuff and everything all that. And definitely learned a lot within that year.
Yeah.
Learned how to succeed and fail at the same time. And it definitely taught me to so many things about business that I want to, like, you know, implement in the future.
Yeah, what are some of those things?
Definitely, like, patience is something that in business, like, I didn't know. I mean, I did have my own business as a makeup artist.
Yeah.
But it's not the same, you know.
Yeah,
it's not the same at all. It's completely different than working with social media. Like, patience is something that you need to have. And being confident, really, about your dreams, and be 100%, like, on the page that you told yourself you were going to be at. Because sometimes, I mean, we're only human, so it's so hard to focus on something, and then whenever you see things that are not going your way, you kind of want to give up, but at the end of the day, you have a purpose, and you can't forget about that purpose, and having a why is very, very important.
Yeah.
So I would ask myself, like, what's my why? What's my why? And at the beginning, like, when you start something, you're like, you know, I want to be financially stable. Like, that's the first thing that it comes to your mind when you start a business, but at the end of the day, like, there's so many other things that are actually more important than, you know, financial stability. And I think being time freedom is amazing because, you know, you have your little business, so that's crazy. But time freedom is so much more important than a financial stability to me. Yeah. And having time, especially 2020, made me realize that, like, how life is crazy. Like, one day you're here, one day you're not.
Yeah.
So, like, having that time to spend with your family, with your kids, and still being able to make an income, like, yeah, in this case, through social media, it was amazing. And definitely, like, proving yourself that you could do so much more when you become an entrepreneur. So definitely, like, right now, because of the pregnancy and the move and everything, I'm kind of putting a break to those group of people that I was mentoring. Mm-hmm. And I have my other friends they're actually business partners with me, mentoring those people right now. So I'm not really taking care of that group right now, because I'm trying to settle down here, like, just, you know, make everything together for the baby. But definitely getting back to it very, very soon. And I mean, it doesn't end there. Like, it has taught me and my husband so many things about business, like I said, that we have so many future plans that we just want to go ahead and make them happen. And I know I have the knowledge for it because of the business that I was doing for so long. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I did for the year 2020.
That's so cool. Yeah. I love when you talked about kind of like the financial, or not the financial, the like freedom, you know, like with your time. And I think it's so important. And I think like some people really like strive and thrive with a 9-to-5, and that's them. But there's so many people that I know that don't have a 9-to-5. And like, I didn't really grow up with parents with 9-to-5s. They both did just different things. And I realized like how beneficial it was to me as a kid.
Yeah.
Knowing that my parents could come volunteer or come to this thing, or were able to like manipulate their schedules where they could still work, they could still provide for us, but they also like put our family first and were able to like do those things as a parent, because you obviously realize your kids aren't going to be there forever.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
And I think that's like something that I talk to my husband a lot about, you know, and it's hard because the military like isn't a 9-to-5, but it's almost like more taxing than a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
But at the same time, something that we talk a lot about is that no other job, so you get the 30 days a year, but then you get all these random 72s and 96s, which for non-military listeners, that's just the hour increment. So like 3 days is 72 hours or 4 days is 96 hours that they'll give them off. So they'll give them like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Like they'll give them 4 days off, and even some holidays give them four. So like I know like, I think for Veterans Day, maybe that they get like the three, like full days, like during the week, or, you know, things like that. So we totaled it up, and it's like 72 days a year that you get off. And like even recently, like if your husband has a job where like you go into the field or you like do deployments, like my husband's, they'll like go to the field and they come back and they're like, okay, you have the next day off.
Yeah.
So there's so many, and like, I get it. It's like pros and cons. There's like a weight scale type thing. But no other job is going to give you that many days off. Some jobs that I've learned with a lot of my friends like graduating and starting like what we call like big girl jobs, you have to like be with a company for X amount of time to even get days off.
Yeah, to even get days off.
Or you'll have
like PTO.
Yeah, or they'll be like, well, it's my first year, so I only have like 5 days this whole year. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You have 5 days, an entire year, that you have to somehow figure out to take off.
Yeah.
Or you don't, like, and so sometimes, and I get it, this is not to say, like, any job that is, like, that is a bad job.
Yeah.
But I think when you're not used to that, you're, like.
And also, 5 days a year, sometimes for companies, and if you don't take it that year, you lose it. In the military, they keep it.
Yeah, I think you can have up to, what, like, 60 or 90 days roll over each year.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's, like, what's wild to me is that some jobs, like, yeah, you either have to, like, earn your PTO.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, well, you have 90 days to, like, prove to us, or, you know, like, things like that. Because, and I wonder if you feel the same, because I saw a lot of companies talk about this recently, was that 2020 kind of showed us, like, hey, there's things that are more important than work.
Yeah.
Or, like, I saw a post the other day, it was, like, use your days off because your company cares about you, but they don't truly care enough about you. Like, if you quit, you would get replaced.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think it's kind of interesting to think about that, like, and obviously when you have a small business, yeah, you do, like, your most of your employees are replaceable to a certain degree, you know? But, like, it's kind of interesting to see, like, these big companies really, truly only care about the business. And I get it. It's a business, and I get it that you have to profit and you need revenue and things like that. But it's hard when you have something like a pandemic occur and you're like, there are so many more things in this world that, yeah, that matter.
Yeah, 100%.
And so I think that's kind of the interesting thing about, like, where we're at in our lives is we're kind of figuring out, like, what we want to do. And I kind of like that our, like, age group, like, granted, we get, like, a lot of crap for all these other things that we go yeah. through. But I really like that we're kind of breaking out of the status quo, and it's like, no, we're gonna do what makes us happy, yeah. and we don't care about these, like, boxes that our parents and grandparents lived in, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, 100%.
Which I think is important when it comes to, like, finding a career, even just finding a job that, like,
yeah.
and I get not every job is flexible like that, and I get everybody's situation is different, and some can't afford to pick and choose what jobs they take. But, and I think specifically when you're married to somebody in the military, not having a flexible job causes a lot of stress when yeah. you have, like, kids, too. Because if you can't rely on your service member to pick them up from school
yeah.
or to do anything because their command's not going to just let them off because they have to go pick their kid up from preschool.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, when I used to work at the daycare, sometimes we would have parents, like, come super last minute because their command wouldn't let them. And then they had, a lot of the times, like, I would see, like, both parents in the service, so either one parent was deployed or one parent was in the field and the other one was staying here, and it was just chaotic. I'm like, you know, it's nice. I know it's a nice lifestyle if you get used to it. Some yeah. people love it and they just want to do 20 years or more. But for other people, like, I feel like it's a challenge.
Oh, yeah. yeah. I mean, I can understand if you guys don't, like, if the dual military don't have kids because you, like, kids are a responsibility,
yeah.
an extra responsibility until a certain age. They can't really do anything for themselves.
Yeah.
And so I can only imagine if you have a job, yeah, that makes you deploy or makes you go to the field for days on end or things like that. I'm like, what do you do? Like, that, it's so interesting to me. And I think it's really great that there are resources out there to help, especially, like, single parents that are active duty. But it's definitely a whole other, like, can of variables that you have to, like, deal with.
Yeah.
So, moving on to your husband's job. Does he enjoy it? Do you enjoy that he does this job?
So, it's been a challenge for the past 3 years. At first, we were like, you know, it's cool. It's a nice job. And then the unit was just being a little bit difficult
yeah.
because he's in such a big unit. Mm-hmm. He actually just got promoted to another position, which
oh,
is
nice.
Really, really happy right now. And that makes me so happy for him. But for the last 3 years, he was in a big duty station. Like, basically, like, his command was so big, and his unit was so big.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Motor T. You know,
okay.
they go to the field all the time. They go. They've been to deployments. They're just here and there all the time. And for the longest, he was like sometimes really happy with his job, and he would come home and he'll be like, oh my god, today was such a good day. And then the next day he'll be like, I'm quitting, like, I'm not re-enlisting, I'm not doing another 4 years. And then the next day he'll come, I'm like, I'm still doing another four years. And I'm like, you know what, like, this is kind of crazy, like, are you okay, like, what's going on in your job? So we kind of, like, figure out that we had to talk a little bit more about our jobs, even though we don't understand
yeah.
each other, because we have, like, totally different jobs, you know. So, but it's been a challenge for all of us. I gotten along with a couple of the wives mm-hmm. from his unit, and everyone has a different story, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
everyone deals with situations a different way. But I feel like we're finally in the, you know, in the position where he really likes his job right now.
That's awesome.
And it's a very small unit that he got transferred to, and he's gonna be there for the rest of the year.
Okay.
And I always say, like, I'm a believer, so I always say, like, God, we've been praying to God for this position.
Yeah.
We've, like, every time, like, God, like, when is it the right time? Like, we've been praying for this for so long because I want him to like his job and I want him to be happy. Like, not for sure now. He's like, I'm re-enlisting.
Oh,
and every day he's like, I'm re-enlisting. I'm like, okay, let's just calm down and, like, you know, leave it to God and stuff like that. But Yeah, 100%. Like, we'll pray for you for a better position because he's such a hard worker, and he was the type of person who would always show up early, always be on time, like, always be on top of his work, always finish his work on time.
Yeah.
Very responsible person. And then you would have people that, you know, mess up in the job, and then everyone pays for one.
Yeah.
So sometimes they would have to stay longer in the job. And as wives, we're kind of like waiting for them.
Yeah.
For so long. And like, it's already been a long day, so I have to wait for you longer. And then next week, you might go to a field, you know? So definitely a challenge for the both of us, but we've made it work so far.
Yeah.
And like I said, like, people have it worse. So it's not that bad. But definitely something that has taught a lot of things to us when it comes to, like, you know, responsibilities and stuff like that.
What do you feel like is one of the biggest lessons that you've learned going through dealing with, like, your first enlistment?
Definitely how to be independent. I mean, I was a pretty independent person when it came to making my own money and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I lived with my parents and they paid for everything. So I was not, like, a very independent person when it came to that. My grandma lived with us, and she did our laundry, she did the dishes, she would cook. I never cooked in my house. And it's not like I was a brat, but, like, she just had us really spoiled all the time, like, me and my parents. And it was just something she really liked doing. So, living, you know, coming across the country and being with my husband, that, like, he's barely home because his job, you know, they would work until, like, 6, 7. I would literally have to do everything in the house and work at the same time. So it was like cleaning, cooking, just balancing everything out. So it definitely taught me how to be independent. And I had to, like, learn how to grow up fast.
Yeah.
Because we got married at 19.
Okay.
So we've been doing this since really early on. Like, I mean, at 19, my friends were going out to clubs. And I was here living the wifey life, you know? And doing all these things, but I'm so grateful for it because it taught me, like, you know, how to grow up fast. And definitely, I'm in a different pace. I mean, right now I'm having a baby and my friends are still partying. I'm just so ready for it because we had to do it since such an early age, you know? So definitely, like, independence, something I learned.
Yeah.
How to be independent. Yeah.
No, I definitely think, and I think that's, like, a kind of a cool thing about military life. Like, I kind of tried to, like, sit there and imagine, like, what would my life be like if I hadn't gotten married young? Because, you do have to grow up. You do have to make, like, big girl decisions.
Big girl
decisions.
And you're like,
I'm actually making these decisions, and, like, I'm having to go through these things. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I still call my parents all the time.
I'm, like, on FaceTime with them every night.
I'm like, Mom, what about this? Like, I remember I, like, had a job opportunity come across my path, like, a week ago, and I, like, didn't know what to do, and my husband's super supportive, but he doesn't, like, he's not one of those people to, like, sit there and, like, discuss something over and over. And so he was like, if you want to do it, great. If you don't want to do it, fine. Like,
yeah,
he was, like, super chill. And so, like, I was like, I'm so lost. And so I remember, like, calling my mom, and I think I was just really overwhelmed. And so I remember calling her, and I was like, I just don't know what to do. And I literally, like, started crying, and she just starts, like, chuckling at me, and she's like, it's gonna be okay. And I was like, I just don't like making big girl decisions. Like, oh my gosh, you know? Because I think sometimes it can just be overwhelming, because you're like, this is actually gonna, like, affect my life. You know, it's not like, what are we having for dinner? It's
big things. A big thing. Yeah.
And so I think sometimes it's hard because you're like, and I think, and I don't know if you relate to this, but, like, even, like, having conversations with your friends sometimes, not can be hard, but it can just be different because you're like, how's college and how is going to the club? And you're like, I'm doing laundry and, like,
I'm not just here cooking while doing laundry at the same time.
Yeah, and, like, making sure his lunch is packed and the bills are paid, you know, and things like that. Which, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I love it.
Yeah.
But it definitely is different when, like, your friends that you've done, like, so many of the same, like, you went to high school and you did high school things, then you graduated high school, you did graduated things, you know, and, like, you did college things, and then to, like, realize how many, like, paths there are in life and how you all take a different path, which is great. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's, like, how it should be. But it's, like, oh, we really are all on different paths.
Yeah, and sometimes I talk to them about it, and, like, they kind of don't understand my lifestyle, but I'm like, dude, I live across the country. And I have my house, I have my family, you know, like even when I wasn't pregnant, like you still have a family with your husband. So you have all these responsibilities. I can't just be going out all the time or be on the phone all the time. I've had my best friends are always super understanding of mm-hmm. everything. Sometimes I don't talk to them for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's like nothing. Like we talk again and we're like, oh my God, how's it going? Like, yeah. How are you? How's everything? And then I have other friends who are like, oh my God, you're so fake. Like you don't text me and like, you don't write me. I'm like, girl, I'm so busy all the time. Like, yeah. Definitely living by yourself and being responsible for a house. Because your husband is literally, or your spouse is literally, you know, at work all the time. So you're kind of responsible for everything in the house. It takes a role on you. So I can't be on the phone all the time talking to people and, like, texting people. It's not like I don't care about you or I forget about you.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of responsibilities right now, so.
I think you bring up a good point. I think that is the biggest thing that I've realized, like, from my friendships recently is, like, the ones that are in very different life paces are still like constantly talking to their friends every day, all the time, which I totally remember doing that was like your life when you were in high school and college, like, you constantly are in group chats, you're constantly on the phone, you're constantly FaceTiming. But I realized that, like, when I got here, and so I still have like my core group of like about like five friends, and we talk. There's some of them I talk to like a couple times a day, or like texting like once or twice a week. And then there's others that like I talk to once a month on the phone. And that's like our monthly catch up because our lives are busy. Like, and I think that's the hardest thing that I kind of had to come to realize. It was like, I really don't have time to just sit there and talk to my friends all day. Like, I have real responsibilities that I have to be doing. And don't get me wrong, I love talking to my friends. But they're busy too, you know? And, like, then you'll text and you'll be like, oh, what are you doing? Like, my best friend texted me today for the podcast and was like, hey, are we going to call today? And I was like, yeah, just call me whenever, you know? And so, like, you can do those, but it's like, yeah, life does get busy, you know? And, like, sometimes you don't even realize that, like, you forget to tell somebody something. And then they're like, what? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you didn't know that? And they're like, no. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I really thought you knew that. Like, and I think it's just sometimes, like, life gets busy and you're just like...
Yeah.
And I think that's when you really see... who your, like, core friends are.
Yeah.
Because you don't want someone to be like, oh my gosh, you never called, you never texted, like, I'm so annoyed that you're like, and you're like, I'm not being fake, I just have a life, like, I have stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I just love when you can have friends that are, like, understanding. Like, one of my best friends, she's always busy. And so, like, we talk about once a month, and she'll always be like, I'm so sorry to be busy. And I'm like, there's no need for you to apologize. Yeah,
no.
Like, this is life. There's
literally life.
Yeah. And so I think that's one of the cool things that I've, like, seen recently is just, like, how, your friends are in different places, and you can make it work, but they have to be kind of understanding that we really do have a different life now.
Yeah.
Especially when we live on the other side of the country.
I know. Yeah, because you're from the East Coast, too, so it's just so far, and there's a time difference, too. Sometimes I'm literally FaceTiming my best friend, and I'm, like, cooking, and then she's about to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Because here's 7, others, like, 9 or 10, so... I'm here, like, oh, we're just, like, juggling everything, but at the end of the day, like, it makes you realize who your true friends are.
Yeah,
at the end
of the day. Sure.
So.
One of my best friends, she works the nights as a nurse, and so I think, and then her husband works nights as a cop, and so I think because even when they don't work, their bodies are just used to being up late, so, like, we'll talk when it's late my time, and I'm like, River, what are you doing? Like, go to bed. And she's like, I can't. Like, this is when I normally am up. So, like, my body's just gotten used to it. Which sometimes I, like, deep down love. Because then I'm like, I don't have to, like, worry about fitting it in when, like, my other East Coast friends are, like, wanting to talk before they go to bed. Or, like, my parents. And I'm like, oh, River will be up. I can call her when it's, like, 10 o'clock my time type
thing. Yeah, I know. Like, with my parents, I have to call them, like, at 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And I'm here, like, it's so early for them. And they tell me all the time, oh, my God, it's daytime over there? I'm like, yeah, you know this. I don't know if that happens to you.
Yeah, no. Or, like, I'll forget. So, my dad doesn't sleep with his ringer on, but my mom does. And so, like, and my dad's my boss. And so, like, if I have to text him something for work or email, I know it won't wake him up. And, like, he'll just read it in the morning. But my mom sleeps with her ringer on. So, even if I'll go to text her or something like that, I'll be like, oh, crap, she's sleeping. And if I text her, she'll wake up and then I'll feel bad. So, then I just have to, like, remember... to remind myself in the morning. And so I was like, Mom, can you please just turn your ringer off so I can just text you when it's convenient? And then she's like, no, I have to sleep with my ringer on in case something happens to you. And I'm like, Mom, you live in Ohio. There's nothing that could happen to me that would need to wake you up in the middle of the night because there's nothing you could change. You know what I mean?
Like,
and she's like, no, I'm still sleeping with my ringer on. I'm like, okay. But it's funny because I don't sleep with my ear on, but my husband does because of work.
Yeah.
And I feel like always his phone is buzzing with some new group chat or some person calling.
Yeah. My husband too, but to be honest, I'm the type of person that when I go to sleep, I just don't hear anything.
Really? I feel like that too because my ringer was on the other night. I just forgot to turn it off.
Yeah.
And I woke up to a ton of notifications and I didn't hear a single one of them.
Yeah. My husband puts an alarm for work, obviously. Yeah. I don't hear his alarm. At
really?
All. The only alarm I hear is mine. I don't know if it's the noise that my brain is kind of like wired to know the noise of my alarm and not his. Like, we don't have the same noise.
So he can literally like get up and go to work and it doesn't even wake
you up. It doesn't even wake me up. I mean, sometimes I wake up with him and I help him out.
Yeah.
But now that I'm pregnant, I get super sleepy at that time. And back then, he would wake up at 5 in the morning to PT. Like, now he's more comfortable with his, you know, the time. But I would not hear it. I'll be asleep.
Really?
Yeah.
I can literally, like, I think Cade literally woke up at, like, 4:30 to pee this morning, and I, like, woke up and heard it. And I was like, oh, okay, well, we got another, like, 45 minutes till we have to get up.
Yeah.
But that's crazy. I wish. I don't know if it's just because, and our alarms don't even think are the same sound, but I feel like I hear his. And I sometimes, like, so his, when he's getting a call, it will, like, do the vibrating over and over, and I'll be like, Cade, your phone. Cade, your phone. Like, he, like, sometimes won't even hear it.
Yeah.
And I almost think sometimes, like, I have, and I, we say this term, like, we say, like, PTSD, like, oh, I have PTSD from that, which I get, like, in the military community, PTSD is a real thing. And so I don't want to say that and, like, diminish what different military people go through. But one day he got a call and he forgot, so his old job used to be in the armory, and he forgot to open the armory one day. And they had told him, like, because everybody else had the day off or something. It was some weird thing, and he forgot that he had to open the armory at 5 a.m. And so his phone starts buzzing, and I'm like, Cade, your phone. And he, like, looks at it, and it's, like, a higher up. I think it was one of his officers. And he's like, oh, my God. And so now I feel like every time his phone's ringing, I'm like, Cade, you're going to answer. You messed up something. And then he's like, I didn't mess up anything. Someone was just calling to tell me something. But every time I hear it in, like, 5 a.m., I, like, sit up, and I'm like, you have to answer your phone. And then I, like, sit there and, like, wait to see, like, who it is or what it is. Or he'll be like, oh, they just need somebody's number. Or, like, oh, they just had a question. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, well, my heart can't take it at 5 a.m.
Is this his first station?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he got here in 2019. So, like, we met in high school. He went to boot camp. And then he got stationed here March of 2019. And then we got engaged May of 2019. Getting married May of 2020. Our anniversary is actually yesterday.
Oh my God. Congrats.
Thanks. And then, yeah, so he's been here. And then he has about a year. But when you said, like, your husband will come home, like, I'm not enlisting. And I say, I am enlisting. That is our talk every day.
Right?
And he was just on the podcast. And we talked about how, like, that's our most common, like, argument or discussion is, like, are you enlisting? Are you not enlisting? What's your mind with this? What's your thought with this? And I think just because they just think, like, going to work every day sucks, but they don't think about, like, all that we do get or all that we don't even have to worry about sometimes. Yeah. And so I'm like, there's more to just think about, like, you going to work every day. Like, there's so many more aspects. And then, I don't know if you feel like this because you did move here, but I'm like, I moved my entire life here.
Yeah, no, 100%. Sometimes when, obviously, every couple gets into arguments, I bring that up all the time. Like, I moved my entire life here to support you. And sometimes I feel like, obviously, it's a decision that no one obligated us to do, but and we wanted to do it. But it kind of takes a role on us sometimes, and we're like, oh my God, you're not being appreciative right now. I literally moved my entire life here and left my entire, like, life over there.
Yeah.
Literally, my business, like, when I used to be a makeup artist, I was literally doing makeup every single weekend for weddings, for events, for modeling events, just doing so good. My family, college, I love everything over there to come support you. So I'm like, sometimes when we get into arguments, I definitely bring that up. And I just remember, I'm like, I did so much for you. Come on.
I feel that. And sometimes I'm like, and it's not even like that I, like, obviously that I moved here, I'll, like, talk about that, but I'm like, and then you just want to, like, move us somewhere else without the support of the military. Because I remember, like, moving here and having to adjust and furnish a home and, like, work and do all these things.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, if we move somewhere without the military, like, holding up a salary and a house until we get adjusted, like, that's scary.
That is scary.
And I think that's my biggest thing is I'm like, you're wanting to leave without, like, a huge plan. You don't want to go to college, which is totally fine. Because, like, not every, like, college is not for everybody.
Yeah, my husband either. He's like, I don't want to go to college. I'm like, okay, but what's your plan?
Yeah. No, I totally feel it. And that's, like, how I feel. And so I'm like, okay, well, like, then what is your plan? Because no job is going to give you what the military gives you without a college degree.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I think sometimes hard for them to, like, not get, but, like, really understand, like, oh, I do have a good, I get it. Your job sometimes has sucky hours, and sometimes you deploy, and sometimes you, like, your command sucks, and they're, like, being mean and things like that. But overall, like, a lot of your needs are met.
Are met.
And, like, yeah. Even, like, so, like, we were talking about one of our walks the other day when we were talking about the enlistment. I was like, even, like, insurance. Companies give you insurance, but you still pay for that insurance.
Yeah.
Like, TRICARE is the only thing that you don't pay. Unless you have Select, you pay, like, yeah. a copay, and then you have, like, a
but
small...
But it's really small. Yeah. I switched to Select to be able to go to a doctor now because yeah. of, then you know, the entire pregnancy. And I asked a couple of friends because I'm like, you know what, like, I have to ask around because I don't want to pay, like, a $10,000 bill, yeah. like, you know? And they were all like, oh, we just had to pay, like, $60 yeah. after the entire pregnancy. I'm like, really? Like, that's
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so, like, you don't, but, like, for example, like, my parents, they have insurance through the company, but they pay monthly
yeah,
for that insurance.
Too.
And so I think sometimes they don't get, like, well, other jobs, like, this company reached out to me and stuff like that, and Kate's like, oh, well, you'll get insurance, like, then I won't have to provide benefits. And I'm like, no, but that still comes out of my paycheck.
Your paycheck.
I'm still paying for insurance. And then when I go to the doctors, I still pay a copay. Like
yeah.
the TRICARE, especially for Prime, you don't pay anything. And that's like what, as a kid, I did not realize. Like, first of all, how expensive insurance is. And it's like, well, why do you need insurance? And then you're like, oh, that's why I need insurance.
That's why.
But no place, like, they'll provide you insurance, but you still pay for it. And so sometimes I think it's like, okay, well, if we looked at our monthly expenses, that would go to this. We'd have to cover this. We'd have to cover rent. We'd have to cover utilities. We'd have to cover this. We'd have to cover that. And then he's
yeah.
like, oh. I'm like, yeah, oh.
Oh. And I think insurance is something so important to have. And I didn't think about it before the military. I was like, oh, why are you paying for insurance? Like, you're never sick.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, look, my mom in 2020, she had an episode where she was just fainting a lot and they didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And it ended up being that she was kind of like a little bit anemic and had really bad migraines, and that would make her faint. And I'm like, you haven't gotten sick in years, but this happened. And then the bill came and it was like, you know, $100,000. And if she wouldn't have had insurance, she would have had to pay those $100,000. And then obviously she ended up having to pay a copayment. And I'm like, it made me realize how important it is, because you never think that you're going to get sick, but you never know.
That's what I said. And like, I have endometriosis. And like,
mom too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I remember when my first surgery happened, my surgery, I can't even remember. I mean, it was up in the double digit. I think it was like 60, 80 grand for the surgery.
Yeah.
And my mom, like, showed me, she was like, I've only had to pay this much because yeah. we have insurance.
Yeah.
And I, like, told Kate, I was like, you have to continually get those surgeries until you get a hysterectomy. Like, endometriosis does not just go away.
My mom had to take everything out.
Yeah. And so yeah. I was like, I will have to have another endometriosis surgery probably before we get pregnant, just to clear everything out and, like, help with everything like that. And then it's also just, like, very painful and it grows and all kind of things like that.
Yeah.
But I was like, so that surgery I have to get. Then a whole pregnancy. I mean,
yeah.
kids can be all the way up to 20 grand. And that's, like,
so
for
expensive.
A regular pregnancy.
Yeah.
What happens if your kid goes to the NICU? What happens if you have to have an emergency C-section or a surgery after? Or, like, how many days you have to stay in the hospital? Like, there are so many more variables. Like, I feel like 20 grand is the, like, minimum for having a kid if you don't have TRICARE.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about that. And then I was like, and then once we have kids, I'm going to get a hysterectomy. I'm not going to live the rest of my life with this endometriosis and continue to deal with it. Like, when
yeah.
we're done with kids, we're done. And, like, it's out of me, you know? And that's, like, what happened to my grandma and all these kinds of things. But I was like, that's expensive. Like,
yeah.
that, you know, and things like that. And that's what we talked about. And so I was like, there's so many more aspects to think about than just, like, I don't enjoy waking up at 5 a.m. and going to PT. And I'm like, I get that that's not, like, ideal. But what are you getting in return? Or, like,
yeah.
what are we not having to worry about? Or, you know, things like that. And I think it's a really interesting conversation. And it really does make you, like, sit back and think.
Yeah. Unless you have a big plan
Yeah.
And you have, like I said, like, when it came to, like, businesses that we want to do in the future, we're like, are we 100% financially stable to leave the military and go
and
for it?
And start doing it.
Because, I mean, sometimes people just go for it and they sacrifice for an entire year until they make it happen.
Yeah, and, like, that's great, but sometimes people can't afford that.
Yeah, sometimes people can't afford that. So it's something that we've been really thinking about hard.
Yeah.
So we're like, do we want to, like, sacrifice an entire year where, you know, we're going to have to... You know, when you start a business, at the end of the day, like, you don't really pay yourself for, like, a year or a year and a half. Because you're just paying back everything that you invested, basically. And if you have workers and stuff like that. So you don't really see an income for yourself. But we were really thinking about it. We're like, are we ready for that? If we were just the two of us, maybe we would have been like, you know what, let's go for it. But now there's a baby.
Yeah.
So, do we want to put her through that, you know? So, it's definitely a decision, like, that we have, obviously, this, you know, next 6 months to decide for. But it comes to, like, you realizing, like, this is, like, a really nice lifestyle right now. Yeah. So.
And I think, especially when you're younger, and I don't know if your husband has a lot of single friends, like, that are still in the barracks. But a lot of Cade's friends are still single and living in the barracks.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we're getting out. And I'm like, Cade... It makes sense for them because they have no responsibilities. They can go get a job wherever. They can go live back at home. Like, they have nobody to worry about but themselves.
That's true.
I was like, that changes the whole dynamic versus when you have a wife and a house, a wife and a house and a kid, a wife and a house and a wife expecting a child. Like, there's so many more variables when it's not just you. And that's kind of one of the things he talked about on our most recent episode of the podcast was that he learned was he was like, when you get married, you can't just think about yourself. Like, he was so used to, like, coming home from work, showering, eating, and playing Xbox till the wee hours of the night. And I was like, oh, no, we can't do that anymore. Like, not saying you can't ever play Xbox, but, like, you have responsibilities. We have things. We have to spend time together, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And it can be hard when all your friends are like, Cade, why are you never on? Because, like, I have responsibilities now. I chose to get married. I chose those responsibilities.
Yeah.
And I have to do that. And it can be hard sometimes, you know? Or, like... I'll even catch myself, like, thinking, like, about a big decision that we need to make. Like, oh, how about this or how about that? I'm like, oh, I have to, like, talk to Kate about it. Like, we have to have a conversation. Because sometimes it's so easy to just be like, oh, I forgot that I have to, like, check in with somebody and, like, this money question or this lifestyle thing or, you know, things like that. And it was so weird, like, when I was doing my first interview for this job and I'm still in the interview process and I haven't really decided yet. But I remember going, like, well, like, can I, like, talk to my husband about it for a couple days? And she's like, yeah, go ahead. And I was like, this sounds so weird coming out of my mouth that, like, I really do need to, like, go consult my husband about it.
Yeah, true. I mean, right now, you're a team, so you have to talk about everything. I agree with that. But something I wanted to talk about, because I know you were saying that you got married, you got married within 2 years and stuff like that. And I feel like that, we see that all the time in the military. And sometimes, you know, you just find your soulmate and you're like, you want to go for it. And definitely happened to me. Like, I mean, we've gone through a lot of things together, but definitely feel like my husband is my soulmate and we just balance each other out so much. But we got so much, you know, backlash from the family and friends. Like, oh my God, like, you got married after like 3 years of being together. You're not going to succeed. Like, this is not going to work out. Tell me, like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, so I think that was our hardest thing. Like, so we met when we were 14 in freshman year of high school. We dated on and off throughout high school, then got back together senior year and, like, have been together ever since. And, like, I had high school teachers being like, they're not going to succeed. What are they doing? I had, like, a bunch of, like, family friends be like, are you really thinking this through? And I think it's hard. And I think the biggest advice that I gave to one of my friends who was dating this guy and getting serious, they weren't military, but she was like, Kenz, give me all the advice you can. I was like, the biggest thing that I learned was, of course you want the support of your friends and family. Of course you want everyone to love them and be so happy. And I said, but when you get married at a younger age, you might not get that.
Yeah.
And I said, the biggest thing is, you are the one that has to live with this decision. Your parents don't have to live with the decision. Your cousin doesn't have to live with this decision. Your neighbor doesn't have to live with this decision. You have to live with the fact that you chose this person to create a life with and to be married with, you know? And so I was like, you have to be okay with it. And so I think for me, that was my biggest thing, was a realization, was like, this is my life. These are my decisions. I feel comfortable with this. I got my answer from God that I'm supposed to marry Cade, and I have to stick with it. And it can be hard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My family was very, very nice. They very much came around to it very quickly. But at first, they were like, what is my daughter doing?
Yeah.
And I get it. It's young. And I think it's hard because, on one hand, I understand, like, I definitely got married young, and, like, that's hard, and I definitely did not realize all the things I was getting into. But at the same time, I did feel like I was more mature. I did feel like I realized, and I felt like Cade and I had really, like, talked about everything and talked through everything, but you do get a lot of slack. And then I think you also get even more slack because the divorce rate in the military is so high.
Yeah.
And people do get married to people that they don't very much know or things like that. And I think it really just depends on the person. Like, Cade and I looked at each other and we were like, we are going to make this work.
Yeah,
this is it. And, like there's no other option. Like, we are going to make this work.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only thing with our generation. And even if you just get married young, is a lot of times, like, yeah, one fight and you're like, all right, this is over.
Yeah.
And you're like,
no. I'm definitely, like, something I learned from my pastor. He was like, the other day, I was like, he was like, not every day you're going to feel like being married. And that's 100% okay. Once you realize that, obviously, it doesn't make it right for you to go and, like, you know, mess around. But not every day you're going to be like, oh, my God, I love being married. Like, this is my life. I love it. Like, not every day you're going to feel that way. But it just comes to, like, you know, a realization that you have to make with yourself. And you're like, you know, is this what I really want for my life? Like, do I really want this? Do I want to make it work? And at the end of the day, if you married, I think marriage is a covenant. Like, you...
Yeah.
Definitely forever thing, even through ups and downs, and
yeah.
Definitely something you have to balance out. And sometimes, I'm a type of person that sometimes I have a little bit of pride when it comes to arguments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I have a hard time. I've had a hard time through marriage and figuring that out about myself. You kind of have, like, that pride aside and just, like, really stick about what marriage is all about and, like, what God wants us to do with our marriages. I'm really taking it, taking it to God.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what, like, it's just what it is. But definitely about the backlash from people, we got so much. Because we got married, he proposed in 2019, like around April, and we're going to get married 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So June comes around, and he's like, you know what, like, I actually want to marry you now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to wait until 2020. We've been, you know, engaged for a while. We've been dating for a while. I already feel like you're my wife.
Yeah.
We just live across the country from each other, and we can't really, like, make our dreams happen. Like, you know, being together, you're just over there, and I'm over here. Like, we barely see each other, so I'm really ready to make the next move. And I told him, like, I'm ready too. So I go home, and I tell my parents, I'm getting married. And they're like, yeah, next year, right?
No.
And I'm like, no, like, this month. And my mom's like, no, like, what do you mean? And I'm like, Mom, like, we're ready to get married. We're just going to do it. We're going to go for it. And she was like, are you going to have a wedding? And I'm like, no, I'm not having a wedding. I'm just going to get married through court, and that's it. My mom's like, no way. No way you're not having a wedding, because my mom couldn't have her wedding because they didn't have money.
Mm-hmm.
At the time when they got married, like, when she got pregnant on me.
Yeah.
And they were already dating for 3 years. So it just felt right.
Yeah.
So she's like, I didn't have a wedding.
I
got married at court, and I just have pictures.
Yeah.
Taken of us, like, a dress that was not even mine, and your dad was wearing a suit that was not even his. So I didn't have a wedding. I didn't dress white. I want to see yourself go down the aisle and dress white and have a get together and have a wedding. Because, and I told Mom, like, I can do that later on. I could get married now, and I could do it, like, a year from now or 2 years. And my mom was like, yeah, that's what your dad and I said. We've been married for 25 years and we've never had a wedding.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? You're right. So I'm like, are you down to plan a wedding in a month? We literally pulled a Kardashian wedding.
Oh,
so,
my gosh,
like, yeah, I'm ready. So that was literally in June. We went on vacation. I was going on vacation with my parents and for 2 weeks, and we literally had 2 weeks to plan a wedding. We got married on July 6th.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Thank God, like, my family has a really nice house, like, with a big backyard that I was able to fit everyone that I was going to invite.
Oh, that's so good.
From both sides of the family. So we literally did everything super last minute. I hired a wedding planner. Thank God she was, you know, available for that week. And just planned everything super fast. I basically did almost all the decoration for the wedding.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting married, and it just, everything just happened so fast. And we were like, oh my God, we're married. We got married. Which we had so a wedding. Which is so nice
because if you'd waited till 2020, it probably would have got canceled. Because yeah. mine got canceled.
Oh my God, how was that?
But yeah, no, I totally feel that. And I think that's like something that they talk a lot about. It's like, oh, but this, like, you have to do this and you have to do that. And like, there's so many things. And it's kind of like, but as long as I'm happy with it, that's like all that should matter.
That's all
that should
matter, yeah. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I announced my wedding, like, I posted a picture of my wedding, and half of the people on my Instagram were like, what? Yeah. You got married? You were engaged? A lot of people didn't even know. I mean, I did post about it when I got engaged, but I didn't just make a big deal out of it. And a lot of people were so confused. And even the people that didn't know I was engaged, they were thinking about a wedding from a year from now, not a wedding, like, in July.
Oh my gosh, so, I love that.
But, I mean, everything worked out, and it was just meant to happen the way it did, and I wouldn't change anything for it. I mean, it was such a crazy day. It was raining all day, too. And my family was like, don't worry, it's good luck when it rains.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, it's a backyard wedding. It definitely stopped raining a few minutes before I had to like walk down.
Oh, good.
And my dad walked with me, and it was literally such a special moment. My dad was crying. I'm here like looking at him like, don't cry, because you're gonna make me cry.
Yeah.
And everything just worked out so good. I had a couple of my friends go to my husband's friends go to the wedding, and they're wearing like their dress blues.
Oh, I love
it. And one of my best friends goes like, come here, you guys are walking the wedding now. He made the friends walk the wedding with my best friends that were all wearing the same dress like bridesmaids.
Yeah.
And it just worked out like if I had a court and everything.
Oh, that's so perfect.
It was so funny. I'll show you a picture later.
Yeah.
But I was just like, everything just worked out so perfect. Like, if it was just meant to be that way, and then 2 months after, we moved in together, and, I mean, the rest is history right now.
Oh, my gosh, I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on. You were literally amazing, and I feel like our conversation was just so great. I feel like we relate to so much, and I am so excited to see when baby girl comes, and it'll be so fun. And do you have any last advice or anything that you want to tell the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, if you choose marriage in the military, it's going to be a challenge, 100%, but it's worth it if you're with your soulmate, if you guys have a good relationship. Just keep on going, work on your goals, don't forget about yourself, because I feel like in the military, you tend to do that a lot, because you're so focused about your spouse, but then never forget about your dreams, and just keep on going.
Oh, you're amazing. Thank you so much. Okay, so to finish out, I wanted to close with a quote. So even though this is after technical Memorial Day, I wanted to do a Memorial Day quote. And so I found two that I really, really like. I hope you guys had a wonderful Memorial Day and that you were able to take some time. I did a podcast a couple weeks ago, and it talked about some Medal of Honor recipients and some cool shows and movies to check out, which I totally recommend if you haven't yet. The first quote is, "This nation will remain the land of the free only so long as it is the home of the brave." And Elmer Davis said that. And I just love it. Anything patriotic. I think I like obviously cared a lot about the country and was very patriotic, but there is just something about now being a military spouse and having somebody that has decided that they will give up their life for the country, and it changes your perspective, and it just, you have a different appreciation, and I'm just so very grateful that I get to experience that. The last quote is, "Our nation owes a debt to its fallen heroes that we can never fully repay," and that is from Barack Obama, and I just think that's a really great one, because there is really nothing that we can do, you know, like, we can't fully repay that, and I think it's just amazing, and I think that I'm glad that we have these holidays to sit and remember. Obviously, they're fun, and you are able to go to the beach or have a cookout or, you know, things like that. But I do think it's really amazing that we do take this time to be patriotic and to remember these things. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity that I have to be able to honor them and remember them and really dive into who they are. And I really encourage you guys to do that. And I hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day, and I hope you had a wonderful week. I'm really grateful for you tuning in. I hope you loved Brenda as much as I did. And we'll catch you next Friday for the mental health series.